This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Just over 3 years ago, the Air Force made a decision. Burlington would be home to the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter. This followed years of debate between those who wanted the jets and their economic boost here in Vermont and those who opposed the planes and the impact their noise could have on local communities. There's been a sort of a lull in the news regarding the F-35 for a while. That is until President-elect Donald Trump tweeted about them in December and then brought them up in his first post-election press conference last Wednesday.
I'm very much involved with the generals and admirals on the airplane, the F-35. You've been reading about it. And it's way, way behind schedule and many, many billions of dollars over budget. I don't like that. And the admirals have been fantastic. The generals have been fantastic. I've really gotten to know them well. And we're going to do some big things on the F-35 program and perhaps the F-18 program. And we're going to get those costs way down. And we're going to get the plane to be even better. And we're going to have some competition. And it's going to be a beautiful thing.
That's President-elect Trump last week discussing the F-35 fighter jets expected to be delivered to Vermont in 2019. But as Trump mentions, there have been cost overruns and scheduling delays in the production of the fighter jet. Right now, we have NPR's national security editor Phil Ewing with us to get us up to speed on all of this. Phil, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Thank you for having me.
So Donald Trump went after the F-35 on several levels, and let's start with the budget and the schedule. How much over budget and behind schedule is this jet?
Intensely. The aircraft has about doubled in cost per jet since the first estimates when the Pentagon got this program rolling, and it hoped to have operational versions of it in the field years ago. The timetable has shifted so much that it just kind of depends on what slice of time you take. But it's safe to say that it has not gone as well or cost as little as the Defense Department originally intended. But at the same time, the Air Force and the other military services say that taxpayers are going to get what they pay for out of this program, that it will be worth the less than $400 billion to acquire these aircraft and all the delays because they'll bring such transformational new capabilities to troops on the battlefield. Only time will tell as to whether that is true, but it has not gone the way the Pentagon hoped it would.
Yeah, can you talk a little bit more about what those delays are due to, what they're down to?
The Pentagon began this program as a way to try and save money, ironically. The cost of combat aircraft in the 1980s became so intense that the Defense Department rationalized that a way to do it and save money would be to get the three military services that fly fighter jets, the Army, Navy, and the Marine Corps, all to buy versions of the same one, and also to continue developing the plane even as it was being delivered in production. So if you can imagine buying a car at your dealership and you get four tires and an engine, but you don't have all the seats, you don't have a trunk, you don't have a stereo, the idea would be that you would at least have a car that you could then upgrade as you went along or continue to build as you went along. It made sense at the time, but that decision has really complicated matters in terms of fielding this aircraft because right now one comes out of the factory and it can't do all the things that they eventually hope it will be able to do, which means it needs software upgrades, it needs changes to its structure, it needs intensive testing even past the point that the Air Force and the other services hoped it would be in service. And that's what has taken so long because it's not like Apple delivering a new phone where the iPhone you get is the final product. In this case, it's the equivalent of getting a software update every couple of days just to have some of the basic functions of the phone work as advertised.
So does it still seem reasonable to think that Vermont might get the first F-35s in 2019?
At this point, the Air Force and the other services say they have got a lot of these problems under control. And so if their guesstimate is that 19 is when the first airplanes will start to arrive, I don't think there's any information to suggest otherwise. However, there's all kinds of unexpected things that have cropped up in the story of this fighter. Most recently, the fleet was grounded because a couple of airplanes had unexplained fires in the hot section of the airplane where the engine and the afterburner are. They had to ground them. They had to do an inspection. They had to figure out what was causing that. And eventually they got it fixed. But it meant that during those weeks and months when the airplanes couldn't fly, they couldn't test, they couldn't deploy, they couldn't take all the normal jobs that they had to take as part of this process. And so even though there's nothing to suggest there'll be a delay in them getting to Burlington by 2019, anything could happen between now and then, including more of those delays and updates that could stretch out the timetable.
So Donald Trump said in what we just hear him say, we're going to get those costs way down, we're going to get the plane to be even better, and we're going to have some competition. So Trump is suggesting he may bring Boeing back into the mix here. Does that seem likely that it could actually happen and maybe somebody else could be making the F-35s?
A lot of this is politics, and very little of it is about reality. But there is some historical information that's good to know here. This the F-35 airplane came out of a competition that the Pentagon ran back in the year 2000 with Boeing, and they both had a chance to build what became this fighter, and the Pentagon chose Lockheed over Boeing. And since then, Boeing has continued to produce its older model fighter aircraft, the FA-18 and the F-15 Eagle, at its factory in St. Louis, but it's never been able to break out with another next-generation airplane just because the biggest one in the world was this F-35, and part of the deal was that a lot of the other militaries around the world would be buying it, which means Boeing was cut out of those markets. What Trump has suggested is that he could force the U.S. military services to buy one of those older model airplanes that Boeing makes, specifically the FA-18 ENF Super Hornet, which is what the U.S. Navy flies today off its aircraft carriers. But the U.S. Air Force says that's not going to work because that's an old 1980s model jet, basically, and what it needs is this advanced new F-35, which has all kinds of stealth features that make it harder to detect, all kinds of integrated electronic capabilities that enable it to talk with other aircraft on the battlefield and satellites in space and all kinds of fancy gimcrack features. And the FA-18 just won't do because it doesn't have any of those.
Well, and not just us, right? But all these other militaries around the world are also trying to buy the F-35s and have put in what they want in this fighter jet?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So the other reason why a lot of this is probably not going to be too dangerous to the program is if it goes away or if it's cut dramatically back, that means that most of the free world's militaries won't have an advanced new fighters. The Brits, the Italians, the South Koreans, the Japanese, European militaries, the Israelis, they're all counting on this F-35. And so if it were cut in production or it were canceled, which, again, is very unlikely, then they would be in difficult straits as well, just like the U.S. So he is trying to use the bully pulpit and use his political brand as a deal maker, as a tough negotiator, to get Lockheed to come down on the price for the next batch of aircraft that the U.S. buys. And he very likely will succeed because Lockheed Martin doesn't like us to be talking about the problems with this program. It wants us to be talking about how advanced and transformational this jet is.
Well, and we'll have to have you on next time to talk more about that. Phil Ewing is NPR's national security editor. Thank you very much for talking F-35s with us, Phil.
My pleasure.